Our reading tonight comes from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I haven't been paying much attention to the theological virtues that our bulletin covers have been proclaiming, but today, the virtue or status of peace is brought to the foreground. And it's brought for two great themes of the Old Testament that the prophet Micah is bringing forth. The first theme is how God always seems to choose the small, the weak, the despised things of the world. It's the choosing of Jacob over Esau. It's the choosing of David, the youngest and the smallest of the sons of Jesse. Probably the most consistent story of this is the story of Gideon from Judges. When the Lord calls Gideon, Gideon replies, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house." Manasseh, a half-tribe, not even a full one. The smallest clan, the least family, the last kid. The Lord brushes Gideon's complaints aside with, "Sure, but I'm with you." And we know how that story plays out. Gideon recruits first a mighty army, and then God keeps sending more home until he has his 300. And God is with them. There are a multitude of reasonings that can be hung on that theme. But the most basic is that you know. This is the hand of God. Israel did not leave Egypt because of a slave revolt, but because God bared his arm with signs and wonders. God chose Abraham, and God made him into a great nation. And when God starts something new, it comes from the smallest, weakest place. A long dead line of kings, 500 years plus dead. A village so small that it can't even be considered a clan. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler of Israel. This is the hand of God. The second theme is the idea of a remnant. Or maybe more importantly, long after everyone in the world thinks something is gone, God recalls it. God has never given up his claim. And I think this applies in a couple of ways. Micah says, "Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." When Micah speaks of that return, who is he talking about? The birth is simply the birth of the Messiah, the one promised from of old, from ancient days. When the Messiah is born, you will see this return start. But the return of who? The first and very Jewish answer would be the 10 northern tribes. Micah is a prophet during and after the Assyrian victory that carted off the northern kingdom. For now, God lets the world think it has them, but it doesn't. His brothers shall return. But I think there's something even more from ancient days that's very similar. In Genesis chapter 10, you have something called the Table of the Nations. Underneath a genealogy of the sons of Noah, you have all of the nations of the world. And it concludes, these are the clans of the son of Noah, according to their genealogies, in their nations. And from these, the nations spread across the earth after the flood. And after Babel, where mankind tried to stay united and together by their own strength, they all scatter into those nations. And the Bible then gives us a list of descendants of Shem to Terah, and then further the descendants of Terah, and only then do you get to Abram, the least of the nations of the world. Not even a nation himself. But he was the special possession of the Lord who would make Abraham into a nation. But the table is there. The genealogy is remembered because the Lord remembers. The Lord has never completely abandoned the rest. When the Messiah comes, then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Salvation is from the Jews, but it's for all the nations. At that time, the nations will stream in from every people, tribe, and language and nation. And why might they do that? Life among the nations is an exile full of longing. Everything that the world promises will fulfill this longing never does. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. He shall stand and shepherd his flock beside the still waters to the restoration of our souls. In the majesty of the name of the Lord, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Emmanuel, our God with us. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. No longer an isolated people, but a people called from the ends of the earth. No longer the least, but led by one who sits at the right hand of God. He is our sure defense. Under the shelter of his wings, as he longed to gather Jerusalem, we shall dwell secure. And he shall be our peace. no longer at war with God. This child from Bethlehem and Ephrathah is our peace. Our war with the world staggers on to its completion, but it's a mop-up effort because God is with us. All of the promises from of old, from of ancient days, have been fulfilled because that ancient one has come to be with his people. He calls for the return of all his brothers, wherever they may be found, to enter into his eternal peace. Amen.